Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Recently, we concluded the study of the Gospel of John. John chapter 21 dealt primarily with Peter and his return to the ministry as he had left the ministry to go to his old career of fishing and, of course, Jesus Christ bringing him back. And, of course, Peter goes on to do great things. Last week, we started our study on 1 Peter. I thought it was a logical step. As we spent so much time on Peter there at the end, why don't we then see what Peter has learned and what can he teach us? So last week, we went through and did the entire book of 1 Peter. This would be a continuation of the introduction, because we're not going to be talking about 1 Peter per se, but we're going to be talking about Peter as he was prepared for service. Sifted as wheat. The words are going to come from the upper room. We saw that in John 13. Christ assembles with the disciples the evening before his crucifixion. Not all of the Gospels have all of the text. So this was not in John. The upper room was in John. But this particular passage, the sifting as wheat, was not there. So we want to look at this passage because it is so key to the preparing of Peter for service and for ministry. Let us read our text verses for today. Luke 22:24. And there was also a strife among them, referring to the disciples. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? And then verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knewest me. Oh, Peter thought he was so spiritual. I am so ready. Matter of fact, I was just arguing with these other guys over who was the greatest. Didn't you hear? And I let them know I was the greatest. Oh, Peter, 3 years you have traveled with Jesus Christ, and you have so much to learn, Peter. As we read this passage, I want to bring something that's not readily noticeable to your attention. Let us read Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, if you remember, when we went back to the time in John chapter 21, when Jesus Christ said, do you love me? You had to understand a little bit of the Greek, because the words there were a little interesting. In English, it's always love. But in the Greek, it was not always the same. He said, do you love me? And Peter said, I phileo you. Do you agape me? I phileo you. Do you love me with the deepest of the loves? No, I'm fond of you as a friend. And if you don't understand that, you miss some of the flow of that passage. There's something similar here, that if you do not appreciate the language, you will not understand it. The King James has done us a favor. Unfortunately, there are times people would say, I just don't like the these and the thous. The these and the thous are there for a very important reason. Did you know that? They're really a study tool. And when you see Bibles that take them away, they're really doing you a disservice. And I want you to understand that. And the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. You know what that you is? Plural. The group. See, in the English language, you can be either singular or plural. Did you know in the King James they always used you as plural? Satan hath desired to have you, plural. They were just all arguing over who is the greatest. Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, the group, that he may sift you as wheat, plural. We can be included in there too. Did you know Satan wants to have us too and destroy our effectiveness for Jesus Christ? When you see in the King James, thou, thy, thine and thee, it's singular. When you see ye, your, yours, and you, it's always plural. In the English, that's not always the case. You can see in the English, you could be singular, you could be plural. So understand that when you read the King James. Let us read our text verses again with that understanding. Luke 22, 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you plural, the group, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, singular, Peter. I've prayed for you specifically, that thy, singular, you, Peter, not the group, right now I'm praying for you specifically, that your faith fail not, that when thou, singular, art converted, strengthen thy, singular, brethren, your specific brethren. Peter is being called from the group to be a leader. This is so important that we understand this, because as we go on and study the book of Acts, you will see the great things that the Lord did through Peter. He was trained for ministry. And then, of course, you get into the book of 1 and 2 Peter and the great things that God did through him. Satan desires you, all of us. And now Jesus Christ directs his attention to Simon. I'm calling you, Peter. I'm calling you to ministry, to help the others. I want you to be a Christian leader. And I think that's why it's so important that we understand this. How does God train Christian leaders? It is far different than the world. It is far different from the world. Did you ever stop and think about this? There are no naturally born Christian leaders. How can you be? You're unsaved. All Christian leaders, every Christian leader has been made. Jesus Christ is going to personally work with Peter, and he's bringing this to his attention. I want you to get something else too. Jesus Christ, through this passage, never gives him any new doctrine. Peter, you're not getting what I've told you for the last 3 years. You need to simply learn what I've told you. And there's only one more way to get it. The fire. The refining fire. I am trying to prepare you. I have talked and talked and talked, Peter. And you still hold out with this self-righteousness. And so God is going to allow this incredible trial to come upon him. And he will do that to us as part of our training to be useful to him. And so it is that Satan wants to destroy him. But isn't it interesting that Satan can only do what God allows him? We can see that in Job chapter 1 and 2. Satan is only a created being. God could stop him in a second. Just remember this. There is no power struggle in heaven. Boy, I hope God wins. God could stop him in a heartbeat. God chooses not to in his wisdom. There is no power struggle, and we have to sit here and wring our hands hoping God is triumphant. God is triumphant. And God is going to allow this sifting of Satan for good. Peter, you need it. You're not getting the clear messages I've been telling you. Peter, I want you to get it. And this is for your good that I'm going to allow this. He calls him here in this passage, Simon. Simon, that was his name before he was saved. When he got saved and came to Christ, he said, you're Peter. He gave him a new name. We'll study more of that in our study of 1 Peter. Here at the conclusion of 3 years of personal training with Jesus Christ, he takes him back to his old unsaved name. Peter, Simon, you're acting like you did in your unsaved days. You're not getting it. Simon, Simon, calls him twice. And then what's he say? Behold, pay attention. Would you listen to what I'm going to say? You haven't listened too much over these years. You've always had a comeback for me. He's not walking in the newness of life. Rather, he's walking in the old nature. And Jesus Christ is bringing this to his attention by calling him Simon. Do we realize the potential that we have as a tool in the hand of God? Do you not think it's important to give out the heaven tracts? Do you think your testimony out in the community is not precious? It is. It's very precious. Let alone now Peter, of course, being called to be a leader. Isn't it amazing the potential that God saw in Peter? This impetuous, obnoxious, arrogant man. And God is saying, no, no, you have got so much potential. I don't want it to go to waste. Verse 31, and the Lord said unto him, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. What happens to wheat when you sift it? The impurities are removed. Is that not an unusual thing for Christ to say? Some of you have sifted flour in the kitchen, right? Did you do it to destroy it? Maybe some of you have sifted wheat, but probably more to home is sifting of flour. Did you do it to destroy the flour? No. You did it to purify it. What happens when they sift wheat? They remove the chaff and maybe some pebbles or dead insects or whatever impurity would have been in there. And they separated it to make it pure. You see, Satan set out to destroy Peter and his influence and his ministry and his testimony. But God, being in total control, he says, you know what? It's going to be a tool in my hand. I will use it to purify you. That's why Christ said you're going to be sifted as wheat. God is so powerful. Go ahead, Satan. Have him. Just like you did to Job. Read the story of Job. Satan tried to destroy him. What was the conclusion of the book? He had a closer walk with God because he was purified. He went through the fire. Verse 32. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus Christ did not give a long lecture to Peter. You see, the words were already said. There's nothing more to be said, Peter. 3 years, and you're sitting here still telling me how to do things, Peter. Peter, there's no more words. You're now going to go through a good trial by Satan, and I'm going to let it happen. Wouldn't you like to think that he prayed, but I have prayed for thee that this doesn't happen? No. He says it has to happen. It's the only way you're going to get it, Peter. And many times it's the only way we get it, when Christ lets us go through the fire. And it changes our thinking, unless we have a stubborn, rebellious attitude and will not let it have its perfect work in our life. You see, too many times, we don't want the refining fire. We don't want the trial, and we kick, moan, scream, and complain the whole time through it. We quit. We give up on God, although we would never come out and say those words. You know how it usually goes? You leave the church, is unfortunately the way it goes, instead of hanging in there and allowing God to be able to have his perfect work in your life. He's praying for Peter's faith. Human thinking. You'd pray, dear God, don't let this happen. What a horrible thing Satan would have me. No, this is a good thing for you. And when we go through these fires, our thinking is refined. And that is, in essence, what we need is a renewed mind. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man, there it is. We're going to be refined in our spirit. It's a spiritual growth. Our inward man is renewed day by day. Our light affliction. You mean to tell me a trial by Satan is going to be a light affliction in light of eternity? Yes. Because God's going to work it to good. He's going to sift you and purify you. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and external weight of glory. While we look at not the things which are seen, see the unseen. Stop looking at all of the problems of this world and start looking at the power of God. Are there plenty of problems in this world to look at? Amen. There's no end to it. And you know what? Watch the news. It's getting worse. But our God is still King of kings, Lord of lords, and he's on the throne. Praise God. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. This world's going to burn up. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Only what we do for Christ will last. This attack on Peter is going to be very necessary, and the truth is, it's going to be unpleasant. Read what James says. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, born again people, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. When God allows you to be sifted, count it joy. I'm being purified spiritually. I will be more useful in the hand of God. The faith that's talked about here is not faith for salvation. You can't lose your salvation. It's faith for daily living. The just shall live by faith. We can lose our service. Take a look at Paul. This was a great fear to him. 1 Corinthians 9:27. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I would have failed and God can't use me anymore. Peter, I'm going to pray that your faith doesn't fail. You won't be a castaway. Oh, Jesus is praying for him. Jesus prays for us. And I want you to think about the timing of this. It's in the upper room. It's the evening before his crucifixion. And he is praying for Peter. Do you realize the incredible weight on Jesus Christ? He's going to be nailed to a cross and he is concerned with Peter. You would think he would be consumed with himself and what he's about to go through. And instead, he's praying for Peter that he can bless others. How many times we pray for the wrong things? Take this away! Take this away! I don't want to go through it! And God says, no, you're praying wrong. Pray that your faith doesn't fail. God, I don't understand this, and the truth is it hurts, and it hurts bad. But I find joy because I know you are in this and you're using it. And I will be more useful to you when this is over. It may seem sometimes that God has abandoned us in our trials. But I want you to consider when Peter has been sifted, consider what he wrote in 1 Peter 1:6. Wherein you rejoice greatly, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Peter's saying, let me tell you what, I know what it's like, folks. I have been sifted by the devil himself. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith. And what is Jesus Christ praying for Peter? That your faith doesn't fail. It's easy to sit here in this air-conditioned room when life is reasonably good. There's a fair amount of money in the checking account, although it may be waning. I understand that. It's easy to say, Lord, I love you. And wait until he says, I'll tell you what, I'm going to let Satan have you for a while that he can sift you as wheat. You see, the trial of your faith. First of all, faith in what? Your very faith in God. Not for salvation, but for Christian service. I am going to try your very faith in me, God says. And how does he do it? He pulls back. Do you love me now? Oh, yes, Lord. And then he steps back. Do you love me now? Yeah, but I can't hear you. Do you love me now? Where are you? The trying of your faith, oh God, but I know you're still there. I hope your faith does not fail, Peter. But he's going to try your literal faith. Dear God, are you really there? Did I tell you I would never leave you or forsake you? Yes, but I can't see you or feel you. Where are you? I'm trying your faith. It's very real, folks, when God puts you in the fire. Where are you? My prayers seem to bounce off the ceiling. I'm there. Your faith is starting to strain a little bit. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, that it may be found unto praise and honor. Where's your faith? Don't pray for the trial to be removed. Pray that you can grow in it. Pray that God helps you day by day to be strengthened. That's what he wants. Do you think he'll answer that prayer? Yes. He will answer that prayer. Too many times we want relief, take it away, rather than Christian growth. And too many times Christians quit. We don't like to have impurities removed from us. Did you know that? That's where Peter is. I mean, he was telling Christ throughout his ministry how great he was and telling Christ how to do things. And here he is arguing with the other disciples, well, I'm the greatest. And they're all arguing I'm the greatest. And he needs this incredible impurity removed for him. Of course I'm qualified. Lord, I can even lead these other disciples. Do you understand how great I am? You don't get it. You need to be purified. Do you know that God is looking beyond the sifting and saw what the purification would do for Peter and the service he had? You know why? Because God has a plan for him, and God has a plan for you. But the problem is, if we won't go through the sifting, we never get to the point where God can use us. God had plans for Peter, and it would have been a shame that God would have said, okay, Peter, I won't make you suffer. But throughout eternity, how would Peter have been? Very disappointed. Take a look at Mark 8:33. I want you to see the attitude of Peter. But when he turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. Whew. You think Peter had some growing up to do? For thou savest not the things that be of God. Now, if you ask Peter, Peter was already one spiritual giant. You savor the things that not be of God, but the things of men. Peter had to see himself for who he really was. God already saw him for who he was. It was Peter that needed to have his spiritual understanding opened. Did you know that Peter had no idea that he needed converted? What do you mean I need converted? I'm already spiritually great. Converted. This is converted in your Christian life. From his self-righteousness to a broken, humble man. Dear God, it's not me. Spiritual growth. This trial, this sifting is going to cause him to truly be a different man. You come out the fire on the other side, you're a different man. This is not to say that Peter didn't desire spiritual things. He did. He really did. But he had to be renewed in his mind. His thinking was wrong. Think about what he's done. He left his job and his family to travel with Jesus. He ministered to many people. We see the miracles. We see the teaching. God is using him. He had a position. I'm a disciple. Did those things make him spiritual? No. 3 years of formal training did not make him spiritual. A title did not make him spiritual. The fire, the sifting made him spiritual. Jesus knew what was coming and he allowed it. Think of the words of how firm a foundation. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Don't fight the fire. Faith is very important to see Peter through this. Peter was being prepared for ministry. Not an academic knowledge now. A tremendous application and life-changing education is what he will get through the fire. Peter did not realize how unprepared he really was. Rather, he had the know-it-all attitude. He told Christ, No, the night before the crucifixion. No, don't wash my feet. Oh, Peter, I have to wash your feet. Well, then wash everything. Peter, stop it. Stop it! 3 years of training! Stop it, Peter! You're going to be sifted by the devil. And then you'll get it. Not to be mean, but because the spiritual aspect of life is so far greater than this earthly aspect. Go for what cannot be seen, not the things that are seen. The wheat surely must be sifted, the impurities removed. Then it will be of greater price. Then it will be usable, and not before. But isn't it interesting that when you sift flour, are all of the impurities removed? No. Therefore, when God purifies us, are we perfect? No. But we're a whole lot better than we were before the fire. Still a sinner saved by grace. Just as that wheat is not totally perfect, the flour is not perfect, neither are we. But we're a whole lot better than before we went through the sifting. Think about this. When thou art converted, two observations. Number one, this tells me of the sovereignty of God. Peter, I know you're going to make it. I know you're going to be converted because I know everything. When you're converted. He didn't say if you're converted. He said when you're converted. So we look at the sovereignty of God. But the next thing that I want you to see too, Peter, you're going to know when you're converted. See, right now, Peter, you already think you're spiritual. Believe me, after the sifting, you're going to have a whole new mindset on Christianity. You're going to know you've been a changed man. You're going to come through and say, oh my, can I give you a real life application? The teenager who thinks he knows everything, let him grow up. Years down the road, what does he say? Boy, oh boy, I thought I knew it all. The teenager that thinks he knows everything, grow up, young man, and start to face life, and you'll be a changed person. I remember seeing a documentary on the Marine Corps, and they had made a comment something like this. There are guys that come into the Marine Corps that think they're physically fit until they go through boot camp. They find a whole new definition of being in shape. There are a lot of Christians like that. Peter, you think you're spiritually fit. Peter, you're not spiritually fit. You have no clue. Wait till this sifting is over. Now, I don't know exactly. Is this sifting solely the denials that he did? Was there more? The Bible does not say, and here was the sifting. It doesn't say that. So we can only surmise. But I know this. There was a very real sifting, and Peter responded to it, and he became very useful to God. Right before this, Luke 22:24, there was strife among them, the disciples, which should be accounted the greatest. Is that what God wants? I'm so great. Dear God. God is saying, you have no clue. Why should we endure a good sifting? So we can bless others. Strengthen the brethren. This life is not about each one of us. This life is about God and helping others and soul winning and service and submission and denial and taking up our cross. Sifting is to train us to comfort and to help other people. It's not done for us. Oh, Peter, I've got a purpose for you, but you're not ready. Luke 22:33. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. That's his response to you're going to be sifted as wheat. You don't get it, Lord. I am ready. No, Peter. Because it's not outward. It's the inward man. Are you broken in spirit, Peter? And until that happens, you're not ready. I'm ready to go to prison and to death. Do you know what's going to happen in the book of Acts? He's going to go to prison because he was finally ready. And Christ told him in John 21, you're going to die because he was ready. He wasn't ready before. He thought he was ready. Believe me, Peter, when you go through the fire and come out the other side, you'll be a converted man. You'll know what I'm talking about. You'll understand it, Peter. Peter's not taking the words of Christ seriously. Satan's going to sift you. Do you understand what I just said? The powers of hell are going to be thrown against you. Oh, I am ready. I'm ready. Peter, for 3 years I have worked with you. You just won't listen. He heard what he said, but what did he do? Contradicted. No, I am ready. I'm listening. I heard you, but I am ready. There's no long lecture. Just go. Not because he didn't care. What is the problem? This is all of our problem. Take a look at Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man, that's you and me, are clean in his own eyes. Fundamentally, we all think we're right. That's why we must get into the Word of God and guide our lives by the teachings of the Scriptures, not by our own opinions and our own self-righteousness. But the Lord weighs the spirits, and the proverb repeats it, 21:2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But the Lord ponders the hearts. God looks deeper in a person, greater than the outward compliance. He sees the spirit of a man. And he says that's what needs to be changed and converted. Because when that's changed and converted, the outward man will follow. Right now, Peter is his own worst enemy because of his self-righteous attitude. Very self-righteous man. God knew the problem. It was Peter that didn't know the problem. And God is going to work greatly. And so it is in 33, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and death. And in verse 34, and he, Jesus Christ, said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Let's take a look at Matthew 26:34. Jesus saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said, though I shall die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. So here he says, oh, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready for the sifting. He says, Peter, you're going to deny me. Oh, no, Lord, I won't deny you. I'm spiritual. Don't you understand? Peter said to them, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Peter is ready to fall. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Be careful when you think you're something for the Lord. Peter is still not listening. No, Jesus, you're wrong. You're wrong. I'm not going to deny you. And I am ready. Oh, Peter. But this is the background to the man who finally was ready and he wrote 1 Peter. And let me tell you, I want you to keep your eye open through that book. He writes with a whole different attitude. He's not telling God what to do. He's writing from a humble vantage point. He's a different man. We don't look at trials as good, do we? Take it away! Take it away! God says, no, it's going to have a work. And there are going to be times you're not going to understand. And the temptation is going to be to moan and scream and complain. It should drive us closer to God, a deeper relationship. It should burn out the impurities and make us better and more useful servants for Him. This is not talking about salvation today. This is talking about Christian service. This is talking to a born-again man that God is trying to take and bring him up to be a leader of leaders. Peter, I want you to strengthen the brother because Satan wants to sift you all. And I'm praying for you to make you a leader, Peter. This is not salvation. This is Christian service. What is salvation? It must be the starting point, and I don't want to ever take the assumption that everyone in this room knows. Maybe there's some that don't. Let us begin at the Christian life. Let this hand represent you and me. Let this billfold represent sin. God says, I love you. I hate the sin. People are born sinners. They're born in need of a Savior. They're born unsaved. And so it is that we must come to the realization that we need a Savior. God loves the sinner. God hates the sin. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if we die with this on us, we're going to spend eternity in hell. God does not want any to go to hell, so let this hand represent sin. He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be made sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5:21. That when He was on that cross, He paid your sin debt and my sin debt. He died. He rose again the third day. The debt is paid. For God so loved the sinful world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believes, not joins a church, not gets water baptized, not walks an aisle, not raises their hand, not gives money. Whosoever believes that He paid the sin debt should not perish but have everlasting life. In the quietness of your mind, when you realize I'm a sinner, I cannot do anything to pay for my sin, but I believe in the quietness of my mind that Jesus paid it all. It's not going to church. It's not joining a church. It's not giving money. How do you go to heaven? It's when you realize Christ paid it all. It's nothing that you can do to get rid of that sin. Jesus paid it. Jesus only can pay it. I believe that. I accept the free gift of eternal life because of the shed blood of the perfect Lamb of God. He died, rose again. Once you've trusted Christ in the quietness of your mind, you're born again. It's eternal life. You can't lose it. But God wants you now to grow. That's what we talked about today. Peter, come on. Let's move on in our Christian life. And too many times we resist the trials and the teachings in our self-righteousness. Oh, let us not do that. Peter, I've got plans for you, and God has plans for everybody in this room. Let us submit to His will and let Him work in our lives. Because I'm telling you, there's coming a day we'll be so thankful we did.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.